Thank you for listening to The Rest is History. For bonus episodes, early access, ad-free listening, and access to our chat community, sign up at restishistorypod.com. That's restishistorypod.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a preview of our first bonus subscriber-only episode. To get the full thing, go to restishistorypod.com.
Bond left the Bentley outside Brooks's and walked around the corner into Park Street. The Adam frontage of Blades was elegant in the soft dusk. The dark red curtains had been drawn across the ground floor bow windows, and a uniformed servant showed for a moment as he drew them across the three windows of the floor above. In the centre of the three, Bond could see the heads and shoulders of two men bent over a game, probably backgammon, he thought, and he caught a glimpse of the spangled fire of one of the three great chandeliers that illuminate the famous gambling room. Bond pushed through the swing doors and walked up to the old-fashioned porter's lodge, ruled over by Brevet, the guardian of Blades, and the counsellor and family friend of half the members. Evening, Brevet. Is the Admiral in? And that, Tom Holland, is exactly what people are experiencing right now as they listen to this podcast, isn't it? They too have been ushered into one of the world's great clubs.
The Rest is History Club. Yes. I like the idea of Jack, our producer, who's set this up. We should christen him Brevet.
He is Brevet. I think we should definitely call him Brevet from now on. It'd probably annoy him.
He's not replying.
No.
Oh, no, he's reappeared and he's actually smiling.
Yes. So welcome to the... You wanted to start by saying welcome to the Rest is History Club, whereas I wanted to start with James Bond.
I know.
That's the difference between the tabloid and Guardian Saturday supplement instincts of the two presenters, isn't it?
No. I mean, the moment you explained it, I was very happy to accept it because, of course, you're right. This is absolutely like the most exclusive of clubs.
Yeah.
Where everyone is welcome, provided, of course, they've paid. Though it's rather vulgar to mention that, isn't it? It's not the kind of thing that Bond would mention.
What happens in his gentlemen's clubs? Money must change hands at some point, surely.
Imagine so. This is the first of the bonus episode that you will be getting every week if you have signed up to our Super Soar Away Rest is History package. And we will release it every Tuesday. And most episodes will be very much focused on... interaction and responses to the previous week's episodes. So
exactly.
We'll kind of go through your comments, we'll discuss them. We may agree with them, we may disagree with them, but we will certainly mention them. And
well, it's because people have sent questions on Twitter and we've answered them, but often they may disagree with the answers, or we may have completely failed to answer them in the spirit that they expected. So this is your chance to come back to us.
There's this thing called Discord, isn't there, which seems like a hilarious name for a
chat
room, a social media chat room. So you can go on there as well and leave your thoughts and messages.
So
what we don't do,
we're not doing any of the things that Blades does. Do you know what they do at Blades?
No.
They take away, when you go and stay overnight, it says, this is from Moonraker. Bond visits M at his club. They take away all your money and they replace it with new money the next morning. Newly minted.
Why do they do that?
Because if you've got like...
Do they iron it?
They iron the newspapers. I know they iron the newspapers.
Surely they iron the £5 notes.
It does seem very weird. I mean, but also, how do they have access to the Royal Mint? I mean, how can they get this?
Where
do they
get this passageway?
But they also have, so membership at Blades costs £100. So for an initial entrance fee and then £50 a year, says Ian Fleming. But each member is required to win or lose £500 a year at the gaming tables. Basically, if you don't, you get kicked out.
Well, should we introduce that?
I think we
could have kind of bets
sort of
on
online gambling, moving to online gambling. Yeah, why not? I mean,
we could have bets on whether we could introduce certain phrases or topics into an episode or something like that. I mean, I think there's potentially scope to develop.
Because a lot of the sort of great historic clubs had kind of books, didn't they, where people would write down bets. And historians now pour over them. We shall be coming to this because we thought that since this is the very first episode of the sort of club, of the clubland incarnation of The Rest is History, we would devote it to clubs. That's what we thought, isn't it, Tom? Are you a great club man?
Well, I think we may come to that later, mightn't we?
Yeah, I think you will be because I think you're
very... you mentioned the car being parked outside Brooks's.
Yeah. Are we going to come? Oh, what a tantalising hint of things to come. Mm. Very tantalising. So, do you know what the first historical clubs were? Do you have any? You don't. Well, so Antony and Cleopatra had a club. They had a club called the Inimitable Livers, or in Greek, the Amit. Oh, Jesus!
Do you want to do it in the correct accent, Dominic?
Amimetobioi. Amimetobioi. Brilliant. Fantastic. That's beautiful.
Brilliantly done.
Yeah. And Plutarch, I think, says they entertained one another daily in turn with an extravagance of expenditure beyond measure or belief.
Is that the one where they're supposed to have Cleopatra is they have the bet? I mean, again, this thing with clubs and bets.
Yes.
Who could lay on the most expensive entertainment, and Cleopatra drops the pearl.
She does indeed. It's who can serve the most extravagant dinner.
Yeah.
And she dissolves a pearl in vinegar, supposedly, and drinks.
Which apparently can't be done.
No. So some historians have gone to enormous efforts to say, had she maybe pre-dissolved it in vinegar first?
I know.
It's quite possible. Of course, it's not true. So
that is always the terrible possibility that hangs over all these stories. I mean, so if we're talking clubs in ancient Rome, I mean, there were kind of clubs. So Rome was such a vast city.
Yeah.
And otherwise it was so anonymous. There were clubs for people kind of focused on the local crossroads. So you would, you know, there would be annual celebrations, organise your funeral, that kind of thing. So that you'd have a sense of identity that was focused amid all the chaos and the churn of the city.
A sort of neighbourhood club almost.
Neighbourhood club. And then, of course, I mean, in a way, kind of what today we would term cults are also kind of clubs.
Yeah.
So, precisely because they provide a kind of alternative focus of loyalty, are invariably subject of Roman suspicion. So there's the cult of Bacchus, which is introduced in the 3rd century, and particularly popular with women, which always arouses male suspicion.
So is that the same as the cult of Dionysus in Greece, or is that slightly different?
It's a Dionysic cult, and there are kind of stories about what it involves it explains why it was... they attempted to regulate it. But I mean, even Christianity, and I apologize for mentioning it, but it is a kind of club. That's a huge part of its success.
Yeah.
You know, you are, it provides you with an opportunity to meet people from various backgrounds and to share things. And a bit like with the community clubs in Rome, the opportunity to know, say that your health is going to be covered, or people will look out for you if you get into trouble. That's definitely a part of it. But I mean, that's not quite what we mean by
modern-day clubs. Am I not right in thinking that the cult of Mithras was very much a club, officer's club?
So kind of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come to Freemasonry because Freemasonry is a club. I mean, it absolutely is a club. And actually...
Then I think you could say that the Mithras cult is...
Yeah.
It's pretty close to that.
Well, you know the thing about you were saying about Bacchus and the suspicion of debauchery and stuff? I mean, that runs through all clubs. So a lot of the clubs that we'll talk about, people suspected them of debauchery. Well, not a lot of them, but some of them. And even if thinking sort of on the hoof, as it were, on the trotter. Of course, David Cameron was famously involved in a clubland clinch, wasn't he? with a pig's head, allegedly.
What's that? That was, so that was the Piers Gaveston Club.
The Piers Gaveston Society, I think.
You're an Oxford man.
Yeah, I wasn't invited.
Were you a member?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. So the Piers Gaveston.
So Cameron was a member of the Piers Gaveston Society, which is presumably named after
Edward II.
Edward II's
sort of advisor stroke catamise. Yeah.
Yes.
But the Piers Gaveston only met, I thought, once a year, and they just had a massive party or something. And people were bussed out in minibuses to a field and had basically a rave.
And the pig was, I mean, that was made up.
I mean, but he took the pig's head with him. Pig's heads were quite a feature of Oxford, actually, because I remember going to a party where someone took a pig's head.
Any of that in Cambridge.
They were for sale in the covered market.
See, that's the difference between roundhead and cavalier.
It is, I suppose it is, yeah. Because Oxford is a very cavalier city, of course. But the heyday of clubs, Tom, clubs basically must have existed in some informal way. And of course, orders of chivalry, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, definitely.
Have a club.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, joining the round table.
Yeah.
So the classic one is Sir Gareth, isn't it? Who's the younger brother of Gawain.
And what happens to him?
Well, so he wants to join the round table, and he knows that his high birth.
That was a preview of the first bonus episode for Rest Is History Club members. To hear the full show, including the big reveal of which presenter is currently a member of a classic gentleman's club, go to restishistorypod.com.
Thanks for listening to the Rest Is History. For bonus episodes, early access, ad-free listening, and access to our chat community, please sign up at restishistorypod.com. That's restishistorypod.com.